Welcome to our podcast, Adventures of a Sadist and a Slut, or ASS for short. We're not experts, just kink enthusiasts and really fun, interesting people, or so we like to think. We love to share our experience, strength, and hope. Oh, wait a minute. This isn't a 12-step meeting. It's just a platform to discuss our adventures, experiences, and viewpoints on BDSM, swinging, polyamory, power exchange, slutting out, and all things sex. Given that we get down and dirty, use profanity, and might describe dark sexual activities, if you are under 18, even though we applaud your youth and interest in this topic and encourage you to explore, please consider this podcast to be R to X rated and act accordingly. Other disclaimers include, don't take this too seriously, don't try this at home unless you are safe, sane, and consensual, and feel free to visit our website at www.321events.com, that's www.3TO1events.com, to follow us or ask questions or offer topics you'd like to hear. So, on with the show. So, Daddy, it will be great to spend a little bit of time getting to know you since you're the host, and a little bit about your journey and how you came to embrace the title of sadist. When do you think you first had those sadistic tendencies that I love so much?
Well, this is, you know, a funny story. I think of every once in a while, but I don't think until recently I actually tied this to my sadistic tendencies. But I went to church a lot most of my life, and as a kid, one of the things I spent the majority of my time doing was thinking about the chaos I could cause while sitting in my seat, you know, just... if it meant grabbing a Bible and just tossing it across the aisle and hitting someone in the head, or, you know, like slapping the person next to me right in the face, you know. And this is stuff I thought about when I was like 8 years old. So I guess I must have had those sadistic voices in my head from a very young age. I was a happy kid, but, you know, I could be a happy kid watching, you know, whatever cartoon, and then go to church and sit around and think about the chaos I could cause.
Oh, interesting. So how old were you when you first, like, kind of started expressing that?
I think you never really know until you know, I'd say, at least for myself. And I honestly didn't really know until I could, you know, put it in a bucket and say, this is apparently what this is. And I mean, for me, that's only over the last few years where I realized what this was. And I'd say a friend of mine who is a part of the kink world at one point did say I seemed a little bit of like perhaps a sadist. To which at the time I thought was quite interesting. I took it with a grain of salt, but also gave, you know, credit to the person that told me. And I think even then it must have been pretty clear to anyone who knows that that's the person I am. And she was certainly right, so.
So you more, when you were younger, or in your teenage college years, were more into swinging and embracing a sluttiness.
Yeah, I would say that's sort of more my journey started out in the swinger space. Just as a younger person, I definitely... was that kid who didn't really care about cheating, for example. you know, when I was young, we had a pool, so we all changed clothes in the same classroom. I mean, I think I was just aware of the opposite sex from a very young age. And, you know, it was the Caribbean.
The Caribbean.
It was the 80s.
The 80s.
So I guess, you know, that's what we did back then. So I've just always been aware. And I think as a teenager, it just always bothered me that I had to, you know, be mad if my girlfriend cheated on me or something.
Why? You weren't mad?
I mean, I don't know. For me, it's just more like, all right, well, I hope you... You know, if I'm dating you, I probably think you're pretty fantastic in bed. So, you know, I almost just hope you gave it to him good. Or her.
But, did you want to hear about it?
Yeah. I thought it was hot to hear how it went.
Oh.
I mean, I was just always that person who wanted to know all the things that you've done and all the crazy sexual fantasies you have, you know. I think all that stuff's hot, even if it's in your past and it's not with me. So, yeah. Tell me how you cheated on me. That was how I thought. And, you know, I didn't really understand. I mean, it didn't seem like anyone else felt that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, the few times you mistakenly think you can ask your friends anything.
But not that.
No.
And then they look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah, they're just like, what are you talking about? So... And then I, you know, got to college and a lot of group things happened. I just went to, you know, experimental college with a lot of experimental people around and, you know, got into a lot of group situations, which apparently isn't normal because...
Oh, when you asked your friends?
You know, once again, I tell my friends, you know, this one, and while they're all cheering and high-fiving and whatnot, you know, they all seem completely amazed that things like this continue to happen to one person. So,
Is that where you developed your pussy whisperer skills?
You know, I don't know. Pussy whisperer, so that's pretty funny. I don't even know how to explain that. Maybe at some point.
We will definitely cover that.
Yeah, we'll cover
that. We need a whole podcast for that.
And some live testimonials, perhaps.
Yes.
Now, I think that all developed later on. You know how it is with sex. It's like when you're much younger, there's what you know. And then the more you have it, the more you know, the more skills you gain, the more, at least for me, you know, it becomes cerebral. Well, before it wasn't like that. It was like, let me just be good, let me last. Now there's just all these other, you know, please, please, please let me last. Let me sing a Steely Dan song in my head to, you know, last an extra 15 minutes. Where now there's just so many other pieces there that I was not aware of as far as attraction and all of those things and sexuality. So
that's amazing.
So I definitely say that pussy whisperer business has come along over the years.
So once you embraced that you are a sadist, how did that feel, and have there been benefits to that?
Yeah, the benefits. Oh, the benefits.
The benefits.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, one of the greatest moments I can think of, you know, in my short career of self-identifying as a sadist is I was at a meet and greet and standing with a group of people, some guys, some girls, and, you know, we're all saying, you know, what our roles are. How do we identify in the BDSM space? And, you know, I identify as a sadist. Always have. Always will. I assume always will. I mean, I've been one this long. But I tell everyone that I'm a sadist, you know. Not I'm a dom, just I'm a sadist. And a couple girls giggle. Another guy just kind of, his eyes just get wide. And, you know, they're all apparently submissive and pain sluts. And so, you know, saying I'm a sadist just, like, was, like, you know, the best fucking news on earth. And I was like, shit, you know, I've arrived. This is all right. This is who I am. And, you know, there's a whole subculture of us out there that identify that way. And it's amazing. So to, you know, to have that understanding now is incredible.
I was always afraid of someone who identified as a sadist.
Nice. Be very afraid.
Very afraid. So, what are the most important things that you get from your sadistic activities?
I would say one of the favorite benefits from, you know, when I have a good session is that I just go into space and nothing else is really happening except what's happening right before me. You know, the things that my brain is actively managing are limited to what toy am I going to use next? Should I, you know, things like, am I counting these paddlings right now, or am I not counting? You know, are we getting marks? Is that going to bruise enough, or should I try a new toy? It's almost like I'm just sort of managing and engineering the scene, and that's what I can focus all of my energy on, and nothing else.
Not the sounds of me screaming.
Well, you know,
and grunting.
I feel like that's part of. You're right. I mean, also what I'm receiving from you, from a subject and a scene. You know, of course I have to manage that, listen, you know, take the feedback I'm given, and then, you know, sort of adjust my routine, though it's not a routine, but I think you know what I mean. There's just so much going on, and I love that. It's a moment when I can check out from other things, but still be very actively involved in something that's incredible, and while having a deep connection with someone at the same time. So it's almost like great that not only can I be this sadist and enjoy this moment, but I can go into another dimension with someone, and it's just us connected. Mm-hmm. And I think that's incredible.
I think it was pretty amazing after, I guess it was after some pretty intense play over the weekend, that Monday both you and I were just like, God, we're still in La La Land.
Yeah.
Like, it lasted so long after.
That was incredible.
This calm and peace.
Just waking up in the morning, just like,
God.
Yeah, today's going to be a great Monday. You know, what is that? Mondays are terrible. But it felt like it was going to be a great Monday already. So, you know, there's multiple benefits, you know, some that you don't even recognize right away. So now let's take a moment and, Slut, why don't you introduce us to your journey? I would say... One of the best things in my mind about really identifying as a slut, you know, from my perspective, is loving multiple men. So tell me, when did you first realize that you loved having multiple men?
Oh, well, you know, I've spent a lot of years in therapy trying to figure this out.
Okay. I'm sure that's normal.
In my 20s, yes. Or my teens in my 20s.
Yeah.
So, you know, I started fantasizing and masturbating about multiple men. And for me, because I'm Caucasian, it's always been about multiple black men. Because I guess it's so taboo. Well, and I know why else, but anyway, I guess I was like 9, 8, 9, 10. And that's been the driving fantasy of my arousal ever since those times. So it definitely came out of like some adverse childhood things that happened. Someone really important to me, was sexually assaulted. And I didn't never knew, like, the real story, so I kind of had bits and pieces, and I filled in the gaps. And so it was always, like, running through the woods, being chased, and, you know, being taken down, and then just being taken, and, you know, having, you know, having wild, rough sex with three or four, or, you know, whatever my mind would come up with. I don't know if any of that was actually true, but that's what I created. And around that same time, the little black boys in, like, my third grade class used to just jump me on the playground. And they would, you know, hump on me. They, like, pull me into the woods, like, just, like, on the edge, like, covered by the trees, and they'd hump on me, and, you know, I don't know, and somehow that all got embedded in my sexual preferences. And for me, it almost feels like a sexual identity, you know, almost like if someone says you're bi, or you're gay, or you're trans, I feel like I'm a slut. Like, that is, like, my identity.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it's not like people consider that a sexual classification. Now, you know, on the... what's nice is, on the website of websites, you can identify as a slut on there.
Yeah.
So, you know, seeing something like that lets you know that you do have your people out there, your subculture.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like you. Like, you know, especially my teenage years, because I was very promiscuous. I didn't have any kinds of group sex, but I definitely was promiscuous in, I always cheated, I kept track of how many partners I had. Now, I was doing a lot of drugs and alcohol as a teenager, so that kind of lowered my inhibitions, but I didn't embrace it. I definitely felt a lot of guilt and a lot of shame, and a lot of, like, is this normal? And so I actually dealt with my drug and alcohol problem when I was 20. And then I met my first husband. And I really, really tried hard to be normal. And I tried to be monogamous. And I had my kids, and we were together 10 years. And when we separated, and I was 30 and single again, and it was just the start of the internet, and maybe, like, phone... you had to call phone chat lines.
Oh, yeah.
That's how long ago. That was like 22, 23 years ago.
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I am going to try every fantasy that I thought about. I'm going to try things I hadn't thought about. I'm going to expose myself to as many scenarios as I possibly can, and I started just dating all different kinds of races, and going to events, and munches, and swinging clubs, and that kind of thing. So that started my evolution, and even then it took me a few years to really embrace calling myself a slut. And I definitely worked up to multiple partners. I mean, it wasn't like I just jumped right in, but now I'm the first one naked at a party. The submissive stuff was a little bit more of a challenge for me.
So, yeah, that's kind of funny, right? Because there's how you identify sexually, and then there's how you identify sort of in the kink space, and you know, that can happen at different times in your life, for sure.
It's so true.
So, you know, let's talk a little bit about your submissive side.
Well, it seems like, you know, after I had my kids and everything, sex became a hobby, so that I didn't have as much emotional attachment to sex and sexual activity or sexual partners. But submission was a whole other ball game, because there requires so much trust and so much communication. And I was so curious about, you know, the group and rough sex and, you know, pushing the envelope. So as the years rolled on and trying new things, I found myself being like, that's the one thing I haven't gotten to yet. Like, that's the one thing I haven't really been able to explore. And I would definitely, you know, submit my body to people. And, you know, in the middle of fucking, they'd be like, call me daddy. And I'd be like, I don't even know what your real name is. Okay, daddy. But that didn't mean anything. That was really just playing, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
And so I was submitting in the moment, I guess what you would call, it's not even like a service bottom. It was just, I called it like alpha sub, that I was subbing, but I really was not submitting. So until I met you, I really hadn't mentally submitted to anybody or really known what that submission was or able to identify how much of a need I have and how much it's bigger than just the sexuality. I mean, our sexuality is amazing.
Absolutely.
But the mental and the processing is an extraordinary journey.
It really is. And, it's almost a never-ending journey, but in this sort of really great way, as there seems to be more and more potential the further, at least I feel, that I explore.
So, Daddy, this kind of comes to the conclusion of our first podcast.
How about that?
I think that we took the time to say who we were as individuals and what got us to here. But next broad podcast, how do you feel about maybe telling them a little bit about the last year between you and I?
Well, I suppose that should come next. We'll get a little deep, maybe not too crazy. Maybe we will. We'll see what happens.
But we'd love for our listeners to really know who we are.
Absolutely. That's very important. Okay. I'm a little shy sometimes about, you know, telling my story, but you usually get it out of me.
I do. Well, thanks, listeners, if you made it this far. Hope that you'll join us for our next one.
Talk to you soon.